So UFC 277 is in the books, and I want to speak a little bit about the commentary team, mostly about Joe Rogan. And I'm going to preface this for those that are just going to dismiss the criticism that's going to come as, oh, you're just a Joe Rogan hater. Look, and I know I get tagged as a Joe Rogan hater, but I think that's a simplistic view of my criticism. I don't know Joe Rogan. I don't hate Joe Rogan. I might not like many things about Joe Rogan, but to label me a hater just to dismiss the criticism, it's ignorant and it's lazy and it serves no purpose other than to just close your ears and just say, hey, this guy's a hater. His criticism is invalid. But my goal here in criticizing Rogan and criticizing the UFC commentary team isn't to hurt anyone or cost anyone their job, as if I could do that anyway, but to point out the shortcomings and hope that somehow there'll be some reflection and maybe the points that I make will lead to some improvement of the job. And that's probably a silly hope, but here we are. And with that, I'm going to do an examination of what I heard and what I thought was off the mark for UFC 277. The thing with Davidson Figueiredo, which happened pretty early in the fight, I think it was on the early prelims, where Rogan just had no real reason to do this, but he just dismissed Davidson Figueiredo as the champion of the UFC flyweight division. Now, maybe that was to promote the interim title fight that was coming up as the co-main event of UFC 277. I don't know, but to promote Brandon Moreno and Kai Kara-France by pushing down on Davidson Figueiredo and dismissing his reign as the UFC flyweight champion, it seemed cheap, it seemed lazy, and it seemed wrong and unnecessary. And here's what Rogan had to say. I don't think we're ever going to see Davidson Figueiredo down at 125 again. And I think those two gentlemen, there's a real good argument that Moreno won that last fight as well. So that is, in my opinion, that's the world title fight right there. Speaking of Kai Kara-France and Brandon Moreno, who fought a fantastic, fantastic fight at UFC 277. Look, I get that Moreno missed weight once, and that he puts on a lot of weight between the weigh-in of the for the fight and fight night. And according to the California State Athletic Commission, at his last fight, I think UFC 270, he put on 19 pounds between weigh-in day and fight night, which excessive, a lot of weight outside the boundaries of what the California State Athletic Commission would like to see. But he made weight, he fought. And I don't think you can say that Davidson Figueiredo's future is not at 125 pounds. To do so was, like I said, it was wrong. Outside of the fact that Figueiredo missed weight once and gains that much weight, he's more or less sitting out to nurse some hand injuries. And he's going to be back. His plan is to be back by the end of this year, from what we saw. And he didn't take too kindly to what Rogan said once it got to him, which I'm going to think happened after the event. And here's what Figueiredo said about Rogan. I'm going to show it to him. Maybe there could be a friendly wager to make weight, and I'm going to show it to him. I'm basically going to tell him what's up and what's really going to happen. So my feeling is Rogan's opinion wasn't needed on this subject, and it felt like a cheap attempt to sell the interim title fight as a quote-unquote real title fight. And I understand that in some ways. But I also feel that that took away from the reigning champion as the reigning champion. It was unnecessary to sell the rematch between these two top flyweights by pushing down on Figueiredo. You could have sold this fight just on the merits of the two fighters that were involved. To dismiss Figueiredo was wrong. It was lazy. It was incorrect. And I think Joe Rogan did a disservice to Figueiredo and to the weight division with his comments on the interim title fight and the future of the division. Next up, it was occurred during the Alexander Pantoja, whew, and Alex Perez fight. Rogan wondered aloud what had kept Perez out of the octagon for nearly 2 years, and this this shows a lack of preparation, a big lack of preparation, because this was basic knowledge that Rogan should have had, and he could have ascertained with a simple Google search, and he could have then gotten every bit of information he needed and more. And from that, Rogan could have led a conversation on Perez and said, this is what's kept Alex Perez out of the octagon for 2 years. Here is every incident of a fight cancellation, of a missed weight, of a rescheduling that took place in this 2 year time frame, and this is why he hasn't fought. Instead, he asked, and it forced John Anik to go into search engine mode and basically try and explain 2 years of inactivity in a few seconds. Anik didn't do a great job on this because I don't think he was prepared to do this, because that's not his job. It's Rogan's job to be prepared to fight, to announce the fights. He wasn't. And so Anik was left to basically dismiss, but to tell Rogan that a myriad of issues was the reason that Perez was out for that long. So had Rogan taken a minute or so, a few seconds to look at Perez's Wikipedia page, he could have had all that information. He could have had that in front of him. He could have led the conversation. He could have said, this is why Perez has been out. He could have looked like he cared about the fight and the fighters, and that he was prepared to discuss the fighters outside of just what he saw on Saturday night. He was not. That he approached it in this way showed a lack of preparation and a lack of professionalism. And this one was kind of minor, but it still stuck in my craw a little bit, because it showed, again, going back to the Perez incident, a lack of preparation and a lack of knowledge of what is happening right now inside the UFC. So during the, I think this was during the Moreno fight, because Moreno is now training with James Krause, he said that Krause is an active UFC fighter and coach. And while this is technically true, it's not entirely the reality of this situation. Krause hasn't fought since 2020, and from his tone, he doesn't sound like he's going to fight again. And if Rogan would have taken the time to, like I said in the previous discussion, taking the time to Google this and done a minimum of research and a minimum of preparation for the UFC 277 broadcast, he would have found out that Krause just discussed this at the beginning of July with media, including MMA Junkie. And this quote is from MMA Junkie, from James Krause, and this is what he had to say. I don't want to tell you guys I'm retired, because I feel like if the right situation was presented in front of me, I would entertain it for sure. There's a part of me that wants to tell you guys I'm done and I'm good, because I wanted three things out of this when I was all done. And that was, I wanted to go out on a win, I wanted to be financially free, and I wanted to go out on my own terms, not like the UFC nudging me like, hey, you lost three in a row, you got to get out of here. I never wanted that. So yes, James Krause is an active fighter, in that he is probably in the USADA drug testing pool, and that he is on the UFC roster, but technically not so much. And as for the main event, and I plan on exploring this a little more in depth probably here and as well on Bloody Elbow. So this is just off the top of my head and some thoughts on the subject, because the commentary team was really off the mark in the Pena versus Nunes rematch. My initial thought on what I heard was the team had preconceived notions of how this fight was going to go based on what had happened in the first fight, and that it seemed like they kind of had hoped that the same thing was going to happen in the second fight, and that Pena was going to run over Nunes. It didn't seem like they were approaching this fight with especially Rogan here. And he led the conversation and kind of dragged Anik and Cormier along with him in this situation, which I understand. Rogan is a big personality, and he's that kind of person that can lead things the way he wants to. We've seen that. It's just his personality, and it always has been. That's not a fault necessarily. It's a fault here because it was incorrect. So I think they had these preconceived notions that Nunes was going to get dominated by Pena just pushing the pace and getting in her face. That didn't happen. And I think this is kind of the criticism here, I think you can look at it as a kind of a criticism we have of fighters and corners sometimes who can't change their game plan in fight. And so they get stuck on this, and they get stuck with this game plan, and they can't move away when the reality of what's happening in front of them is different than what they expected. And so when the reality changed and Nunes started to run over Pena and dominate the fight in every way, the preconceived notions that this wasn't supposed to happen, they stuck with that. The commentary team stuck with that. And every little thing, the focus was still on Pena. So every little thing that Pena did that kind of looked good got exaggerated in their minds. And that's why we had Cormier saying that Pena had 25 submission attempts when the reality was that she had one. And that applying a technique is not a submission attempt in the official scoring. You have to have that thing locked on. And the threat has to be that they're going to tap to get a submission attempt in the official scoring. That happened once during this fight. Cormier and Rogan and Anik seem to think that it happened much, much more. Now, she might have been in an uncomfortable position, but the reality of the situation was that those uncomfortable positions were not submission attempts per se. And what we heard was that the commentary team focused on Pena while ignoring, for the most part, Nunes' dominance in this fight. Now, we had a score of 50-43, a score of 50-44, and a score of 50-45 on the judges' scorecards. And if you listen to the commentary, you would have thought that those scores were much closer than the reality of the situation. The reality of the situation was that Pena got dominated by Nunes from pretty much start to finish. She had some risky situations, but not dangerous situations, except for that one submission attempt. But the commentary team stuck to their preconceived notions, and they would not be swerved off those notions. That is not something we haven't seen before. And that's a fault. That's a fault I think that they should work on. And I don't know if they need to work on that between themselves, between the team, between the commentary team and the production staff. But I think someone should notice during the fight that, hey, this isn't the reality. What these guys are speaking of is not really what's happening. And maybe nudge them along and say, hey, you're coming off here a little biased. You're coming off a little favoring something that's not really happening, and you need to pull back on that. You need to look a little broader at the situation. That did not happen at UFC 277, and I think the consensus here is that, well, maybe not the consensus, but I think there was a lot of people who saw some bad commentary on that main event fight, just because they stuck to a preconceived notion that Pena was going to have a lot more success than she did. And that's where we're at. So this isn't criticism to hate on Joe Rogan. That's a simplistic view of this. This is criticism in the hopes that the job performance will improve. Joe Rogan did a great job in the early days of the UFC of helping people to understand what was going on, myself included. He was a benefit to the broadcast team. He was a benefit to the UFC. He did a lot of work inside the broadcast, outside the broadcast. He did a great job. He had a big influence on a lot of people. But times change, situations change, and I think what has happened is he's gotten a lot broader in his interests, and he seems to be maybe a little bit parachuting in on fight nights and just, I wouldn't say going through the motions, but sticking strictly to, I'm just going to call what's in front of me and not really immerse myself in the whole situation and the whole backstory and everything. I'm just going to focus on what I see. And that's a detriment to the UFC. That's a detriment to the people he works with. That's a detriment to the fighters. Everyone loses when this happens. And so if Rogan doesn't want to get better, if he doesn't want to do the bigger, broader commentary, maybe the UFC starts to look at, all right, I know there's people that are going to go in there and do the work, and do the hard work, and work be on the whole fight week and getting information correct and telling stories and helping the broadcast and helping the fans and helping new fans as well understand what's going on with this fighter and what led them to where they are now. And you have three people that are very interested in doing that right now. You have Michael Bisping, Dominic Cruz, and Paul Felder. And you also have John Good, who does a fantastic job and is underutilized. So I think I just think that if Rogan's not interested in improving and getting back to what he once did and helping the broadcast overall and the commentary team overall, maybe you reduce his role and you put more onus on these other guys and give them a chance. Because the reality is Joe Rogan's probably not going to be here forever, and he's really not adding all that much to the broadcast right now. And so I hope Rogan can get better. If he wants to get better, fine, keep him there. But I'm just not seeing growth. I'm not seeing anything other than really stagnation and him going in and doing his job on Fight Night and looking at it. This is my 8-hour a month part-time gig that pays X amount, while you have folks like Cruz, Felder, Bisping, Gooden, who will put in the work and put in a solid amount of hours during fight week to improve the broadcast, to help the UFC, to help ESPN, to help the fighters, to just make everything more enjoyable. So again, this is not hating on Joe Rogan. This is just criticizing the job performance and hoping it'll improve.